in August 19, 2020, at 7 o'clock. Would you all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It always gets a little bit risky at the end.
The delay.
Okay, so roll call. Rudy here, Mark? Is Mark on it?
Mark's on his iPhone, he's joining now.
Okay, so Mark's on it, okay. Ryan?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Judy?
Here.
Joyce?
No.
And Josh. Joyce is not on yet. Oh, Joyce is not here yet. Okay. And Josh?
Here.
Okay. The first order of business tonight is going to be new business. It's an informational. The applicant is Mountain States LLC, P.O. Box 502, Weir, New Hampshire, 03281. Owner same. Property location 291 Raymond Road, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034, map 409, lot 131. The intent is a major site plan to construct three 7,500 square foot contractor garages. I believe we have, who's the engineer that was on here? I'm sorry.
Ben Osgood is the engineer, and this is Mountain States LLC.
I am here.
Okay.
So, owner, his son,
Bert.
Lovely lady.
Very good, welcome.
Can you?
I know that there was a little bit of confusion, and we appreciate your working with us on this. Tonight, what we would like to do is to just get an idea from you what is being proposed so that we have an idea. We do have a informal plan review, or I should say application review, just for completeness of the application, I believe Friday morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we'll go over the application to make sure that everything is complete. So I'll give it to you and let you explain what is proposed for the lot.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Ben Osgood. I'm an engineer with Ranger Engineering Group. We're located in Methuen, Mass. I live in Salem, New Hampshire, which is where I am now. The site is at 291 Raymond Road. And it's about 3.4 acres. The site has an existing building on it, which was used as an appliance sales place. I think previous to that, it was a dog kennel. And I found information that it might have been a flower shop at one time.
Yeah.
The existing site, when it was purchased by Tim Bourgeois and his son, Mountain States LLC, was pretty run down and needed cleaning up. They've done a lot of cleanup on the developed area. And if you've driven down Route 27, you know that they've cleared the trees. Mm-hmm. Before they did the clearing, it was the front of the property was developed. The rear of the property was wooded. And it slopes up about 60 feet from Route 27 all the way up to the back corner of the property. It's got two entrances onto Route 27 that exist there now. And it's serviced by a private well and septic system. So what we're planning upon doing is constructing three buildings up in the back of the site, utilizing the existing entrances. I'm developing a roadway on each side of the site to access up at the top. The buildings would be 7,500 square feet each. There would be three of them. They would be divided into two units. Each unit would have a garage door and an entrance door, possibly a small office, and each one would have a bathroom area as well. We provided enough parking, I believe, for 18 employees. I figure there'd be a couple employees in each space. There's six rentable spaces. So it's about 3 employees per space. The purpose of the facility would just be for, number one is for Mountain States LLC to run their business from one of the buildings. They do excavation utility work. They have trucks and equipment, you know, some very expensive equipment that can't be outside. So these garages where the equipment will be housed. They would also like to rent out other units to other local contractors who might need a place to park a truck inside, you know, run a little electrical business or what have you. But that's the use of the of what the buildings would be. The site is zoned commercial, so it's an allowed use. We would, as part of the construction, propose a new well, so there'd be a new drilled well that would meet the offsets on the property to the existing septic system and a proposed septic system for the new buildings. The existing building would stay serviced by its existing septic system, which is out in the northeast corner, right in the front. The 3 buildings in the back would have a common system, and it would pump up to a leach field, which is way up at the back of the property, south corner of the property. The grading, the driveways, I believe, are between 8% and 10%. They're 24 feet wide. The aisleway is 24 feet wide. The parking all meets the requirements of the bylaw. The drainage system, there'd be an underground detention area to control flow. There would be treatment units, probably a Contech treatment units, kind of almost like a tree box, but they'd be a sand filter. And there'd be 3 of those. And then a small infiltration area down at the bottom of the site, which is where the system would drain. We propose landscaping, and I won't go through the whole plan set in too much more detail, but we do propose landscaping along the side of the property, landscaping in front of the buildings, so you know they'd be shielded from the street, and landscaping in various areas up at the top, you know, within the developed area for the buildings. The entrance ways to the buildings, the area immediately around the buildings, we didn't propose too much landscaping. It's going to be contractors' garages. We concentrated more on, you know, what it looks like from the street. So, you know, the landscaping would provide shielding of the buildings from the street to make it, you know, look more pleasing. So, I mean, that's a very brief overview. I know, you know, mostly people on this call haven't had a chance to look through the plans in detail. You know, we understand things are moving slowly these days. You know, we want to work towards getting an approval, you know, within the limitations of what we all have to deal with. So I think we'll be able to discuss a lot more in detail with the plans set out in front of us on Friday. I'm looking forward to that meeting. So I'm happy to answer any questions anybody has. And that's all I have.
Any questions from anybody on the board?
No.
It looks, I looked very, very, very quickly at the plans just now before the meeting. The meeting on Friday, what we'll do is we'll just make sure that the checklist is, well, we have a checklist to make sure that everything for the application is there.
Right.
What we would like to do, and I appreciate you taking the time to come in and do this because it makes life a lot easier, both for the applicant and also for the board. Because we can go through that, and if everything is complete when it's presented to the board, then we can go right to a public hearing on it. So we don't have to waste any time for, as I said, the board or you. Just a couple of questions that I have. Have you contacted the state on the driveways just to make sure that they're still okay with the 2 driveways? I know that sometimes they don't like to have 2 driveways for one lot on a state road.
Right. We have not. We have rebuilt these driveways. We propose to rebuild them to meet their requirements. They don't meet their requirements right now. The grading we've done will meet the requirements of the state, and we will file a permit. I kind of wanted to come here first and see if there was any comments from the board regarding, you know, what we've got before we go there and finalize something. But we have that application filled out and ready to go.
Okay, good. And the only other, the other thing that I can think of just off right offhand, have you talked to the fire chief on fire suppression, fire protection systems for the site? I know there is a cistern on there, but I'm not sure whether you've talked to him or not, so that would probably be of benefit to you, because that's one of the checklist items, is to contact him and also the police chief. And I believe we won't have to do the road agent, it's just going to be the state. On that, so it'll be just those two departments. And if you don't have the contact information, Lisa from the land use office can definitely get that for you.
Yep, we can definitely contact them. We did, in the plan set, there is a turning movement plan that shows how a, you know, WB-40 truck can get up around, you know, which is usually a lot larger than a fire apparatus. So I think the access should be okay. And as you said, there is a cistern on site. So I would assume that that would be sufficient size, but we can talk to him and verify that.
That'd be great. That's really all I have. Like I said, we can make sure the application is complete on Friday, and then we can go from there. Appreciate you coming in and give us an update on that. I know that there's a lot of people who've been interested in what's going to happen to that site. So, very good. Any other questions from any of the board?
The owners are here on the call, and they definitely want to do a good job. They're after me to make it so it's a nice site and it works, and they want to do a good job.
Great. Excellent. We appreciate that. All right, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And we'll see you on Friday.
Thank you. We'll see you on Friday morning.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You'll see you Friday.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, Jim. See you later.
You ready, man? You want to show?
All right. Having taken care of that, we're going to go through old business. Case number 19-006, the final for applicant Armin and Susan Hebert, 2001 Cedar Street, McKenzie, Tennessee, 38201, owner of same, property location, Courier Road, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034, map 402, lots 51 and 57. The intent to major subdivision and lot merger to consolidate the two existing lots, 402-51 and 57, and then subdivide into five frontage lots for residential use. At my request, I asked Lisa to contact the owner and the engineer concerning the project, and requested that they come in this evening to give us an update on what's going on. We did receive an email, and we're expecting a hard copy very shortly, that the applicant has decided to withdraw the application without prejudice at this time. What that basically means is that that they're withdrawing the application, but they do want to make sure that they could reapply in the future, which is not any of a problem, because that can be definitely done if you withdraw an application. So with that, we're going to close out case 19-006 and just place everything on file, and we'll see what happens in the future. Any questions on that? And let the record show that Joyce is joining us at 7:15. Thank you, Joyce. As I said, any questions on that? That is going to be off of our agenda.
Mark Schallbeck, I just wanted to let you know I've been in. I was just let in as you were asking Josh if he was here.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mark. The next item on the agenda is the CIP. The only thing that we had outstanding on that was the how the school was going to fund their capital improvements projects that they have that submitted. It's on the books. I did talk to Matt Woodrow yesterday, And Matt informed me that they are going to fund their capital improvement projects internally. It's not going to be part of the town capital improvements projects. They're going to fund it from their regular budget. So that was the last piece of the puzzle. And what I will do is I'll have Lisa get a hold of Brian Ruoff over at Stantec, because the outstanding issue was is to place everything and where we were going to have from a year-to-year basis where things were going to go. The concern was with the school projects in there that we were going to have to postpone the police station for a couple of years just because of the way.
So we can move that up now?
So we'll be able to move that up.
Perfect.
So we should have a final draft by the next meeting, and we can have a public hearing on it soon after that. Any questions on that?
No.
Good. I think that would be nice to wrap that up.
You think?
So I'm going to tell Brian to take all the school stuff off the
spreadsheet. Yes. Yeah, have him take all the school stuff off, and then just reshuffle things around where he knows if we want to put the police station.
That's 2 years that it's moving now, right?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah,
I believe it is. I think it actually starts next year.
Correct, 21-22 instead of 3 and 4. Right?
Yeah. At least the process, not necessarily the station, but get things going. Okay. Next item on the old business is approval of the minutes from 7/15, July 15th, 2020. I went through them and didn't see anything.
Make a motion, we accept them as presented.
A second?
I'll second that.
All right, we have a second, a motion and a second, and we need to do a roll on that. Rudy, yes. Mark?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Joyce?
Abstain.
Abstain, okay. And Josh?
Yes.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you. Another good job, Lisa. Thank you very much for doing that. The minutes are very good to have. People have commented on that they like the fact that they know what we were discussing in fairly good detail. And other business, there's a couple of things on there, but one of the things I wanted to bring up first is I talked to Steve from the New Hampshire Municipal Association that did our training.
Yeah. Buckley.
Oh, Buckley. Yeah.
Steve Buckley. Thank you. I talked to him on another issue, but when I was talking to him, I asked him about the training, and he said he would be more than happy to do the training again for us this year. He said that he can do it remotely, so I don't know how you want to handle that, whether you want to see if he would come in.
I'd rather have him come in if he doesn't mind, but
myself.
All right, so Lisa and I will get a hold of Steve. And see if he would come in.
I mean, this is fine, but it really doesn't lend itself to a good conversation.
Right.
No questions and answers.
I know that there are people that are still kind of like concerned about being. Now, actually, we could probably do something.
He can mask up if he wants and suits up. I don't, you know, he's here physically.
or we could have it it wouldn't work either. We don't have a big enough space with remote capabilities, but no. I was going to say we could probably have it somewhere where we could do some social distancing, because I know that we also want to invite the zoning board, the ZBA, for that, and we could, you know, if some of the board of selectmen wanted to come attend, we could do that too. So let's check, Lisa, we'll check with Steve to see how he feels about that, whether we could do something combination of in person here with limited attendance and Zoom with anybody else that wanted to attend.
If all the departments that wanted to be here physically, we could accommodate that, and then you're right, and then have the public Zoom in.
Right.
And because it's really for the officials.
Yeah. Right.
To educate us.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know if it's going to be more costly. But I could talk to
them
about it.
Yeah.
It's worth every dime.
Check with them, because we do have the funding for training.
Right.
And I haven't heard whether they're having any of the seminars this year yet either.
Virtually, I think, right? They're not having them physically, but they are having some, which I think Linda is, isn't Linda got, want to do this, she got on?
Yeah, she got a, had a webinar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that might be less costly than what it was before with having people attend in person too, because they don't really have to have a meeting room.
Right.
Or, you know, lunches or anything like that.
Accommodations for, yeah.
I'll ask him.
So we'll check with Steve, see if we can get a few dates from him, so we can have that. I would have loved to have had that in March. But, oh well.
Steve's no spring chicken, so he may not, at his age, he may be more cautious, you know.
Yeah.
He can.
Yeah, so.
I think he's still younger than me.
You think?
I think so.
How old are you?
Do you really want to say that in a public meeting?
No, I mean, he's.
Well, he remembers Steve, when more school was built, so.
Yeah. No, I remember when it burnt.
Was it built, like 32 or something?
Well, it burned at 38.
Burned at 39.
But yeah, it was rebuilt.
Along with the.
The building was all the.
Yeah, I know.
I wasn't saying you were. You're older than that, right?
We'll check with Steve and get that in the works. The other item on the other business that we have in here is I did get the two proposals from Stantec, and you do have copies of them on here.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was to do update the floodplain mapping. And he went through some very big details on what they were proposing to do in here. I know that there was the cost estimate is $6,800 to do that, to do the maps and get those back up, to digitize the new maps and do all the topographical ones so we can have something that's going to be very...
Were there a lot of changes or is it just, you know, bells and whistles that's updating it?
It's partially both, because one of the thing is that...
Like more accurate?
Exactly.
Okay.
I think one of the biggest things is the fact that we're going to capture Dennis's knowledge of the flood areas and stuff like that, because what a lot of the engineers are doing right now is they're using FEMA maps,
mm-hmm.
and the Army Corps of Engineers maps, which really aren't that specific.
Right.
I think we've had many, many problems with that.
I think what they're trying to do is go into more detail so you know where flood-prone areas are that
yeah,
do
so
not
like
show up.
On New Boston Road, we could have said, oh no, that's going to be bad.
Right. You know, like the Patton Hill, we had an engineer who tried to change that elevation and managed to do it, even though reality says something else.
Right.
So, I mean, it's important to get it done, although it is pretty pricey.
It is, but part of the other thing too is they're going to do the topographical contours better too. So
when
we had the New Boston Road issues with that you can't see from the road, we'll have a much better opportunity to do that in there. So it is going to be.
Yeah, you think that's pricey, Dennis?
Oh, it does seem like a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I think what we should do is because you know part of it is that he said he's. Brian would spend a day with Dennis.
Right.
You know, Dennis doesn't feel like it's going to take an entire day. But I don't want to shortchange anything.
Because it's not to exceed that, so it could come in less.
I think that's probably what we should do is to put it to a not to exceed.
I mean, it needs to be done. I mean,
right.
It has to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the estimate says not to exceed the cost. So.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it may come in less.
Right.
I don't know, I'm not that familiar with that, but I know that, you know, it's expensive stuff to have done, so I don't know, you may have more idea what the cost to do stuff like that.
Yeah, and I don't even know
it's
how hard
cheap,
it is for them to, I mean, when you have information on one map and you've got to change that map, there's probably some difficulty in that. So.
Right, right. And I think this is probably just the first step in making sure that our maps are, one, accurate, but consistent.
Yeah.
And this is the one that basically remembering what we've done in over the last 4 or 5 years, this is the problems that come up all the time. The
right.
problems are is the floodplains and the slopes.
And the down roads and...
We're dealing with that all the time now.
Yeah.
And as land gets scarcer and scarcer, more marginal land comes available and they try to utilize it and you get into more trouble.
And the other, it is going to be very, very detailed because some of the other things that they're putting in here is that they're going to put all the existing house locations on. Using aerial photography too. Yeah. So we will have a perfect snapshot of the town exactly the way it is this year.
So adding all that doesn't sound quite as pricey.
Yeah, if you were just going to walk
around. Sounds
like
we're getting a lot more that
right.
way, huh?
Right.
Yeah, if you were just going to go around with Dennis and see where the floods are.
Yeah, just update the map on where it floods, that was one thing. But
the day
it sounds
the
like
Dennis,
they're
going to
get
grand.
Into some detail.
So, yeah, they're going to be the, as you can see in here, under the plan set that's going to be in here.
Holy mackerel, the next one's a little pricey.
A lot pricey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so information we'd like to have, but I mean, holy mackerel.
How are you going to pay for what needs to be done?
Let's do one at a time.
Yeah.
how does the board feel about doing the update of floodplain mapping the way that it's proposed by Stantec?
I don't have any.
Rudy, I think that'd be a good idea, the floodplain update. Like Dennis had mentioned, it'll keep us out of some of these problems in the future where people come to the board and start arguing about what floods and what doesn't, especially if we get Dennis' knowledge before.
Right, I think so too.
Yeah.
It's probably not under this one, it'll probably be more under wetlands mapping update, but we probably should start mapping beaver dams too. So we know.
Yeah, I think you get a better permit from the ones that do my dam.
It's hard to map those because they move frequently.
They move, yeah.
True, yeah, yeah. No, I know. I'm just trying
there
to.
Can't get... be a lot of water flowing right now, so they must be.
No,
they
no.
must be beside themselves, huh?
They have nothing to do right
I
now.
I know.
Nothing.
They're on sabbatical.
They're sitting around waiting for rain.
Yeah.
All right, so if it's the board's pleasure, then I will sign this, and we'll have Stantec start on it right away.
Okay. You want to vote on that, or is it just...
let's take a vote on it. The motion would be that we accept the proposal from Stantec to do the update in the floodplain mapping as provided to the board on June 23rd, 2020. So I have a motion on that.
Yeah, I'll motion to...
Okay.
I'll second.
To do that.
All right. And second by Brian.
Yep.
Rudy, yes. Mark?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Joyce?
Yes.
And Josh?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's that one. So, yeah, the other one with the town facilities assessment. I was a little taken aback.
Yeah.
I wanted to get an idea of what it would cost to do that. Basically, the school did this with an engineering firm when they went through the school and did a phenomenal job and very highly detailed on this.
So much.
I don't know how much it was. Mark, are you still
he's there?
Do you have any idea what the cost for the Turner engineering evaluation of the school was?
No. I want to say around $13,000, but that's a guess. I'd have to go back through our minutes.
Okay, all right. No, that's fine.
Wow.
I looked through the proposal. The proposal is really, really good, but I think it went into more detail than what I was looking for, what I expected they were doing. That in their team, that they were going to have an architect, civil engineer, fire protection engineer, building mechanical systems, electrical engineer, and a structural engineer. I'll be looking at the facilities. It would be very good to have this when we do finally get to doing impact fees, because to do the impact fees, we really have to have a good snapshot of what we have in town right now. And one of the things that's already come up is because the school has done their assessment and they're only running at about 57% capacity, Mark, I believe, on that?
Yep. Right now we're right around 57. Yep.
Okay. So that was one of the things, because of everything they did and the updates that they're going to do to their facilities in the budget, we really can't justify an impact fee. So then we get back down to Dennis on roads, and whether we can do an impact fee on that. Well, that's questionable because of the project, I mean, the plan that's in place and how we've been doing things on a regular basis to upgrade the existing roads that we have. So that's going to be a tough thing to really get an impact fee on. And I hate to say this, it's because people are being conscientious and paying attention to what needs to be done on a regular basis. The department heads are doing due diligence. So that's the problem that we have with doing impact fees for those two.
Yeah, it's hard without it impacting the school. It's hard to justify impact fees on the others.
Exactly. There's
so much less of an impact.
Right. So that's why I brought this in. I can talk to Brian in a little bit more detail because, like I said, it was very detailed. I mean, it would be an excellent report to have, but $50,000 is obviously we'd have to go for a warrant article.
And weren't we looking more for like just looking at our overall, the town and what the different departments' needs were more than, you know, for future buildings and whatnot?
Yes.
Wasn't that really what we were geared more for?
It was, but partially was when we're looking, let's take the police department, for example. Having someone take a look at exactly what's here now and then say, here's your deficiencies based on such and such and such and such. You should have this, and it gives us more credibility to go to the townsfolks and say,
right,
we need a new police station,
right,
and here's our, we're not meeting the safety requirements, we're not meeting the ADA requirements, or, you know, the whole nine yards, that we don't have a good functional police station. So having it in here with someone saying that this is what the problems are, by an independent third party, so mm-hmm. to speak, we've got that backup data so we can present it to the townsfolks and say, you know, we really do need to do something like this because you never see it, we do, but we want to make sure that
so you're going to see if he can do like a revised one that's not quite so detailed, so we can have it for next year or what?
Yeah.
Can you get a second one from that other organization?
From Turner?
Turner?
Yeah, we can do it from Turner too. The reason I went to StanTech is they're the town engineer.
Right.
I can talk to them.
I realize the school was only school, but still, I mean, it's a pretty large
structure. Yeah.
And that has a lot of different parts of it. And for 13 grand, that sounds pretty reasonable.
Right.
Yeah.
But, and
50 grand for the town sounds a little bit steep.
Yeah.
Right, because they were only going to look at five buildings, the Smith Library, with the fire department facilities, the town offices, highway department facilities, and the transfer station facilities.
Won't take them 2 seconds. Well, I would, will it?
We've talked about this before. It's not the current ones.
They got to use that.
All they can do is that. That's true.
Yeah. It's a 2-minute tour now.
That's
yeah, exactly.
What do we have now? A salt shed and that
porta potty.
It's gone until winter.
See, that's even seasonal.
So yeah, I'll talk to him a little bit more. It's like I said, this would be an unbelievable review of everything. But
yeah, it'd be hard to sell that, I think, to justify
right.
that.
Because I think that the town offices, that's all obviously going to be affected by the police department. If the police station moves out, then
it's going to alleviate a lot of problems.
It's going to alleviate a lot of problems.
Correct.
Yeah, from the town office's standpoint, because there will be more room available. And a lot of that. So, I wanted to bring it to the board and let you know this is what we got for a proposal, and we can work from there. We'll talk to Brian, and maybe we get Brian in here and say, you know, this is a little bit more of what we're looking for, not so much detail with plans and drawings and everything, although that could be part of it.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead,
Joyce. What would be the reason for doing it to the old Smith Library building? I mean, we've already put more money into that than we should have.
Well, see, that's one of the things I've noticed going to the selectmen's meetings,
yeah,
is that there's always, and the trustees have come in and asked for money to do the well and the septic system and things like that.
Yeah. Do you think we put too much money in?
How is the town benefiting from this building? I don't understand.
Yeah, but it's a very nice historic building. We've got to take care of it.
Like the problem that has come up that I've heard is that there's no plan. It's just that they want to come in and kind of piecemeal things, fix this, fix this, fix this. But there's no overall plan either for what exactly the entire building needs to bring it up to a code, basically, so it can be used for any purpose.
Right.
But the other thing is they haven't come up with a use for it.
Yeah.
So those two things are out there. This would just take care of that one item where it's like, okay, here's the building. It was built in such and such an area. If you want to use it for public access, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
That's in there.
Okay.
But the use, that wouldn't be covered under here.
Yeah.
I would go through the...
Can I ask a question too?
Sure, certainly.
Please. It feels like to me that we need to individualize those five structures. It seems like when I read the plan, the reason it's so expensive is he's going to spend all of those criteria on each building. And I think we need to individualize each building and figure out exactly what we want for that structure and that plan for the future. And I think that might narrow down the cost because certain things don't need to be done to certain structures.
Sure, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I mean, if we have more detail like on the PD, which is what we're going to need, we'll have certainly a lot less for the office building here. Because that problem will partially go away when the PD moves into a new building. We won't have those issues.
Right. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. I'll bring that up to Brian. What I can do is I'll sit down with Brian and go over this and bring up the board's concerns. Obviously, the main concern is that it's almost $50,000 to do.
Yeah.
You know, it would have to go to a warrant article and it'd have to be sold, and I don't think that the town...
That'd be a tough sell.
I'd rather put the money into a project.
Exactly.
Right.
To get $50,000 spent and not have one stick of wood is pretty hard sell.
Yeah.
I was hoping that we'd have two competing proposals for the $10,000 that we had in our budget. It didn't kind of work that way.
No.
So, all right. So I'll do that. And then I'll give you a report at the next meeting.
Okay.
All right. I think that was it for that. We will have a quick ZRRC meeting after this too. I've got a couple of people to go over that.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have anything for the meeting under other business? No.
Dave, did you want to say anything?
Really, I've already introduced these guys to Kevin, although Joyce didn't get to see
him. Do for the public.
Where's Mr. Owl over there?
Oh,
you stand right on the mark there.
Yes,
it's
standing on
the mark.
Yeah,
Mr.
Owl. Yeah, stand over there.
If anyone doesn't know, already know, I'm leaving at the end of next week.
What?
This is my last ZBA meeting.
Well, that's not a ZBA meeting.
Yeah, 9 years in October, and it's time for me to move on. Probably stay home and semi-retire, I hope. Anyway, we've got the new guy here, Kevin Gagne. He's going to step it up and take over my position. I think he'll be a major asset to Candy. And he's got a lot of enthusiasm that I've lost after 9 years of the same old thing. So he's fresh, and I think he's going to be good for everybody. Right. And I just wanted to thank everybody for the years past.
Well, Dave, from the planning board standpoint, we really appreciate how much you've done for the board over the last 9 years.
Thank you very much.
We've done a lot of what we did about it.
And the residents.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave. We're going to miss you, Dave.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Josh.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Dave.
He's the new guy. Thank you.
I was telling everybody before we came online what big pair of shoes I have to fill, and I'm hoping to be at least as... half as good as a job as what Dave did, and, or more.
You got it covered.
Just let me tell you about myself, Kevin Gagne. I'm married. I have two children, one in Denver, Colorado, and one here that's going to school at NHTI. My wife, Lori. We live in Chichester, New Hampshire, not too far, about 30 minutes, so it's close. I grew up in the Lincoln Woodstock area, small town. I have small town values, and I'm used to, you know, kind of the small town politics.
Small town stuff.
Right. So it's good. I think I'll be a great fit for everybody, and I'm looking forward to working with both boards, all the boards, planning and zoning, conservation commission. I've had experience with the Conservation Commission. I was on the Pembroke Conservation Commission for several terms and the chairman for a couple, so
right.
A little bit, you know.
Joyce is also, I'm not sure, Judy. Judy is on.
Yeah, Judy's happy to hear that.
Yeah, hi, Judy. I'll come to your meeting as soon as I can. But I've had a lot of, opportunities during the years. I had 30 plumbing, heating, and air conditioning company for 32 years. I had the very fortunate to be able to sell. I had a book of commercial business, and I sold it and took a position as a mechanical inspector in Manchester kind of really quickly. I didn't have a lot of time to put stuff together. So now, after I left there, I've had a couple of years to get ICC certifications. I took a plant examiner and building inspector course at NHDI certificate program. So, and been working with other, through the New Hampshire Building Officials Association, work with other inspectors and kind of getting myself ready for a position such as this. And I'm happy to be here. I'm proud to be here. As I said, I've done a lot of
so
work.
So enthusiastic.
I've done a lot of work for folks in town. I've built a lot of houses for different builders.
Oh, wow.
I know Carl Roby very well. I sponsored his son, Jared, when he raced, and I went down south with him on his race team and followed him for years. And
we've known each other since probably, what, 1990, maybe 89?
Yeah, I did plumbing with those guys and worked together on jobs, so.
Way back.
I'm not a stranger with some of the folks, but I am, and I got a lot of people to meet, and I'm happy to, be out there. I'll be available to answer questions and do my best for the town. I work very hard for the town. I'd like to see, the town just do nothing but improve and do anything to help it do that.
Whatever you can do.
Be an asset,
Great.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, Carmen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just wanted to add one thing. Is the,
welcome to Kevin.
The small committee reviewed the applicants. Kevin's was by far the one that stood out, and it was unanimous. Everybody was very pleased with his resume, and nobody else even in the pile came close. So
nice.
It was
nice.
Good.
Great.
Did you work in Manchester when Bob Duval was the electrical inspector?
No, it was 2017.
You did plumbing when Bob Duval was.
Yeah, I was there. I worked as a contractor. Yeah, no, Bill Glennon, who's I think he does live in town.
Yeah,
and he retired, and he'd always said, Kevin, I think you'd be a good fit for. But something like this, I said, I don't know, I'm a contractor, I'm not really a code official. He said, oh, you know. So he kind of forced me, and when he retired, I threw my name in a hat, and I, I knew some of the Carl Frank and a few of the people that were in there, and they hired me, and it was, I liked the job, it just wasn't a good fit, and we all agreed, and so we set part of our ways, and
this should work good for
you. It's a lot better. Yeah, big city, and I'm a small town boy. Okay. Go ahead.
Josh has a question.
Josh, go ahead. Did you have a question?
No, I had raised my hand like 20 minutes ago for the last. Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
Welcome.
Just speak up.
Everyone remembers Bob Duval, huh?
Yeah, I know. I had a lot of inspections done by Bob Duval. So.
How'd that go?
Actually, surprisingly well.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you about it sometime.
Yeah.
I figured him out.
We've all got stories of Bob.
Well, I figured him out, and I took my code courses from him, so.
I know Interactable Bob Duval was always good with me and never saw, so I can't complain about Bob.
Yeah. He knew his code.
Yeah. I never had a bad experience with him, but I've heard people that did. So you guess if, depending on how, I guess how good of work you did, maybe too.
Well, and you'll find this out. Dave's very, very good at this, and actually so is the board. Is that we're not hard to get along with, but our biggest thing is that we've got a set of regulations, and we've got to go by those regulations. And as long as people do that, then we're fine. We're going to do. Good projects.
The applicants have to be prepared.
Right.
They have to come in for the information that you guys need.
Yeah.
To approve anything, and if you can't get that information, you can't approve it, and it goes on and on. Right. Then they complain, but it goes back to the applicant most of the time.
Yeah, and that's why I said before, when Dave usually comes to our meetings, and there are many, many times when we need his input on certain things, because there's definitely things that we don't have a lot of experience in that we're going to depend on you. We depend on Dennis as our road agent for a tremendous amount of information and things. So we definitely use our town officials on our job too. So
that's great. I'm looking forward to the challenge and love to work with you, and hopefully I can answer all your questions quickly and promptly enough so that you can make an educated decision to whatever it is that comes across.
Yeah. Great. Excellent.
Thank you.
Well, welcome. All right. Anything else that we have? Didn't miss anything tonight? Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. I have a motion to adjourn.
That's why we have you here.
I knew you were missing me.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to adjourn, Rudy. Yes, Mark?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Joyce?
Yes.
And Josh?
Yes.
All right, very good. So we'll take...